Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. It's our tendency to just read this verse as if it were one inclusive verse, but the truth is, there's a tremendous distinction in this verse. And the distinction is between the word sanctuary and the phrase, the firmament of His power. Because God is not a one-dimensional God. God is a God of everywhere, and God is a God of everything. And so this situation has not caught God by surprise. And so God is still able, and God is still available. He is the God of the mountain. And that's where Israel's enemy made their mistakes, because they said God, Israel's God is a God only of the mountain. But then they found out He was the God of the valley, that Israel could defeat their enemies either on the mountaintop or in the valley, because God was an ever-present help in their time of need. He's a God of the palm. He's a God of the willow. The palm represents the victory that we're talking about in the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ today. But the willow, it represents the time of sorrow when Christ would die 1 week later. Whether we're talking about death or we're talking about life, if you're talking about Jesus Christ, you are talking about victory. For He is the God of creation, and He's also the God of resurrection. So He's always victorious. And so we here on this Palm Sunday celebrate a victorious God. It means that we can have victory in our life. There is a great distinction between the sanctuary and the firmament. It was Charles Dickinson in 1859 that wrote the great, great story, A Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of life. It was the season of darkness. It was the strength of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on being received, for good or for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. We are in that place where we could say it's the best of times and it is the worst of times. But God is God in the best of times. And I have found that God has showed Himself strong to me in the worst of times. And He is doing it again. And so when we talk about the sanctuary, all of us are familiar with that. All Christians know what the sanctuary is. It's when we come together on Sunday or Wednesday. We come together on the Lord's Day. And we gather together, and the Bible tells us to do that. Forsake not the assembly of yourself together. And we come together, and we come together with joy. The Bible said we pour from vessel to vessel. We receive strength from those that are strong. We that are weak are able to draw from that at that moment. And that's scriptural, that we should do that. We should share with those that are the weakest. And then the weak become strong. It's an amazing thing when we come to God's sanctuary. And people that have tremendous skills and talent can lift their voices and play on their musical instruments and lead us into praise and worship. And we can come into the sanctuary feeling so low. But in the midst of that praise and worship, suddenly we are elevated. The Bible said it this way, we're made to sit together in a heavenly place. And those of us that are true born-again, spirit-filled Christians, we covet our time of assembly. We're always excited about church time. I've had people tell me that as I draw near to church, my pulse gets more rapid as I anticipate coming into the house of God. Well, that's being denied to us today. But the Bible said not only should we praise the Lord in the sanctuary, but in the firmament of His power. In the scripture, the word firmament denotes an expanse, a wide extent, or such is the signification of the Hebrew word. The original, therefore, does not convey the sense of solidity, but of stretching, of extension, the great art of expansion over our heads, which are placed in the atmosphere and the clouds, in which the stars appear to be placed and are really seen. The word simply means expansion. When you talk about the firmament, it means expansion. It means beyond the container or beyond containment. God's praise originated in the sanctuary, but it was not destined to live and die there. It was designed for expansion. It was created to evolve to the firmament. What is the firmament? Anywhere that's not the sanctuary. This is a time for us to learn. We have many people in a church like this. You just have to be here to understand this church. This church, somebody asked me, I have a lot of friends that are not Christians, and they'll say, "Preacher, I hear weird things about your church." I said, "What's it like?" I said, "Well, it's a basketball game without a ball. It's a football game without a football. People are excited. And if you don't have a ball, you can be excited throughout the whole service. You just have to be here to see how excited we are." And so we are very good at that. The thousands of people that call Living Way Church have expertise in praise. We know how to lift our hands and glorify the Lord. We know how to applaud the God of creation. We know how to sing the songs of Zion. Some of us that have a little rhythm even know how to dance before the Lord. It's an amazing time when God's people gather together throughout America and around the world, people that are truly born again. The people that have that same spirit that was in Christ, the Bible said if you have that same spirit, it will raise your mortal body into immortality. Well, when you receive that Holy Spirit, you're no longer just a dead believer. Suddenly you are an alive receiver. And so when you come together in God's sanctuary, oh, you sing unto the Lord. You make a joyful noise. And the Bible in the 149th and the 150th Psalm tells us exactly how we should praise God. And it's one of excitement. So we do that when we come here. And we've pretty much perfected that. We Christians, not only at Living Way, but around the world. There's a billion of us now that are spirit-filled. And so around the world, we praise God every Lord's Day in the sanctuary. But it's time for us to realize that he said, praise the Lord not only in the sanctuary, but in the firmament of his power. Bud and Charlotte usually sit right here on this front row every Sunday. They drive about 50 miles to get here, and they do that every Sunday. They've been doing that for years. But I had a wonderful offering from them this week, but the letter was even better than the offering because they talked about how they were before their television set as we do these services and how they were singing and how they were praising God. What is that? That's praising God in the firmament of his power. And so what God is saying to the church, I didn't design this, but since you're in school, I'm going to give you an invaluable lesson that you can learn that will go from you from 2020 to the rest of your life. And that is that same joy and that same praise that you have in the sanctuary, you're going to have it now in the firmament of his power. And you're going to learn to loose and you're going to learn to bind things in the firmament that you only did in church before. That's the lesson that we should be learning. The definition of sanctuary, a consecrated place, such as the ancient Hebrew temple at Jerusalem or its Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of a religious building, such as the part of a Christian church where the altar is, the room in which general worship services are held, a place such as a church or a temple for worship, a place of refuge and protection, a refuge for wildlife where predators are controlled and hunting is illegal, the immunity from law attached to a sanctuary. Too much information? Let me break it down for you. Sanctuary is some place that is your comfort zone for Christians. And so what we're talking about is learning to be what you are in church, out in the world, out of the comfort zone. Because when you worship God at Living Well, you're not going to be criticized because the person on your right and left are doing the very same thing. But I want you just to try this at your HEB. Try this at your local grocer. Begin to praise God at the stoplight. I remember E.B. Hill talking about how everybody at the gangs in East L.A. where he had his great church, he said, they don't bother me. Because he said, I sit at the stoplight and I worship and I cry and I praise God and clap my hands and said, the noise has gone out to all the gangs in East L.A. Don't fool with that guy. He's crazy. Oh, friend, it's time for the church of the living God to lift up their voices in the firmament of power and say, the God of my Sunday is just as strong as the God of my Monday. The God of my openness is just as strong as the God of my shutdown. He is the same wherever I am. Our options are the same as Israel's was thousands of years ago when they were taken back into Babylonian captivity. The Bible said it this way, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. I ask today how many people throughout America are weeping and say, oh, I just want to go to church. I'm just here crying. I remember Zion. I remember church. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they carried us away captive. They required of us a song, and they wasted us, required of us mercy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They were confronted by the enemy, and they said, you're out of your element now. Let me explain to you. There is no such thing as being out of our element, because our God is the creator of the universe, not just the sanctuary, but the firmament of his power. And wherever we are, that's God's people, that's God's presence, and that's God's power. And so Israel flourished at the taunting of the enemy. It was where Israel excelled. We sat down to weep, but all of a sudden, we went to the willows and we got our harps and we began to strum them again. And we sang the Lord's song in a strange land. So we can sit down and weep. We can hang our harps in the willows. We can complain that we have been dislodged from our sanctuary. Or we can declare that Zion is beautiful for situation, any situation. This gospel was not only designed for the banquet table of orthodoxy, but we can sing the Lord's song in a strange land. This gospel works not only in the swaddling clothes of its nativity, but it's just as effective in a hospital or a jail or a judgment hall or a residence as it was in the upper room of Pentecost. We are taught by the scripture that is an ever-increasing faith, ever-emerging gospel, ever-enlarging church, ever-expanding praise, ever-growing government on his shoulders of which there is no end. Isaiah would write to Israel one of the darkest days in the history of Israel, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing. Cry loud, thou that did not travail with child, more the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. I remember years ago getting a revelation how there were great men and women of the gospel around the world. There were the Billy Grahams. There were the Catherine Kuhlmans. There were the Oral Roberts. But you could name all of them and almost number them on one hand. And God spoke to me one day, and he said, that's a great thing that these great leaders are proclaiming my gospel. But he said, there's going to come a day where you will not know the names of the preachers and the prophets and the healers because they're going to be so innumerable. They're going to be so many of them. Well, praise God. Just a few weeks ago, there were a half a dozen televangelists, and there's a million on this Palm Sunday. What the devil meant for evil literally is scattering the seed of God. And do you realize that today, as we stand here, as I stand here, that there are more people preaching the gospel on the airwaves than there's ever been in the history of the world? On this Palm Sunday, the gospel is being preached more worldwide than it ever has. Oh, I say sing where you've never sang. Dance where you've never danced. Praise where you have never danced. In the firmament of his power, expand, expand, expand. It's always been about expansion. It's always been this way. There is more gospel today flowing through the streets of America than there's ever been. Oh, praise God. The gospel is expanded. The praise, it is expanded and enlarged. The river is loose. Who let the gospel out? That's the question. It used to be on church on Sunday morning, housed in building, but now it's everywhere. As I preach, people are being healed. People are being saved around America. Tens of thousands of churches are now on the air. It's taken them just a few days to get up and begin to stream, but here we are. And there are people that have never heard the gospel that are here today. Oh, boredom is a wonderful, wonderful incubator for truth. People have watched all the reruns. They've watched everything. Hey, I've never seen these freaks before. It was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. He was a great actor, if you remember, in a day gone by. But he was so bored. He said, I would come in from my parties in Hollywood. I would get me a drink, and I'd sit there and drink. And he said, I did it week after week, month after month, year after year. And he said, I got so bored watching the same thing on television. I actually started watching TBN because it was a freak show. But he said, one night watching that, the Spirit of God came on me. I began to weep and repent of my sins. And sitting there in the wee hours of the morning, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. was baptized with the Holy Ghost. I prophesy, I predict that's happening throughout the world and all over America right now. That there are people being reached by the power of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, I say praise ye the Lord in his sanctuary if you get a chance. But if not, praise the Lord in the firmament of his power wherever you are. The river is flowing. In Ezekiel chapter 47, the prophet Ezekiel talked about it. He said, the Lord brought me to the door of the house. We've all been there in the house of God. He said, the waters were flowing. And he said, they were so great, I began to wade out in them. They were to my ankles. They were to my knees. They were to my hips. And finally, I lost my footing. And the river in the house of God was so strong that he said, I began to swim in it. Oh, friend, I've spent my lifetime in church. I've been in those services where the Spirit of God was so awash that suddenly you would lose your footing. And all you would know that the mercy of God was over your nose and you were swimming. The grace of God was baptizing you. The miracles were manifesting. The joy of the Lord was overflowing. Oh, what sweet times in the sanctuary. But then Ezekiel said this. Suddenly it could not be contained in the sanctuary. And he said it flowed out from beneath the tabernacle door. Ladies and gentlemen, instead of cursing this as the work of the devil, except that it is a design of the devil, but God has taken it and now he's turned it for good, and say, thank God, the Holy Spirit has flowed beneath the tabernacle door. It flows into the apartments and the hospitals and the jails and the residences of America. The Holy Spirit is flowing throughout America. And the Bible said this wonderful thing, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. I know there are sick people today in America. I know that there is a minority of people that have died. But I can tell you this, that there is healing in the wings. There is healing in the house. But it's not only in the house. It's in the firmament of his power. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything that live where the river cometh, and everything it touched was made alive. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the best of times, not just the worst of times. It's time for the Church of the Living God to celebrate their God that is not contained in a sanctuary, but he is a God that rides in their car. He's a God that stands by their bedside. He's a God that sits at their table. He is a God that will never leave them nor forsake them. He is a God of provision, a God of joy, a God of power, and he is your God right now. You're alone there in your home, sir. Nobody's looking at you. You're too bashful to go to church, too shy to pray, but you're there alone, just you and your Creator. Why don't you just call on him while he may be found? The Bible said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Speak that name that is above every name. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm afraid. Jesus, I'm alone. Jesus, I need help. And I promise you that he will appear. He will come to you. You will find his soothing spirit. You will find his anointing glory. He is a mighty, mighty God. Oh, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, it was a wonderful thing. The Bible said it this way, that he cried and gave up the ghost. That ghost that he gave up filled my little body when I was a 13-year-old boy. It's a wonderful thing to be filled with the ghost of the Spirit or the Holy Ghost. It happened to me. But there is also something that the Bible said that happened at that time. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. What's that mean? It means before Jesus Christ died, that Christianity, or rather salvation, it was a real small club. There were just a few that could go into the holies of holies and feel the presence of God like I feel it every day in my life. But when Jesus Christ died, that veil between the holies of holies and the rest of the world was rent. from the very top to the very bottom. What does that mean? That means you don't have to have a preacher in your apartment to lay hands on you. It means suddenly God's presence is available to whosoever believe. You don't have to have a priest to say something over you. We have a high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. Suddenly it means heaven is available on earth. All the glory of God is now available to those that will seek the Lord. Knock on the door of heaven, and it shall be opened. And suddenly we can step into the Holy of Holies and feel the very presence of the living God. That's what God is saying to you today. You don't have to be at Living Way Church with just a few people today. Wherever you're watching in your home, wherever it is in your trailer, God is available to you. Because he's not only the God of the sanctuary, he is the God of the firmament. Wherever you are, call on the Lord. Believe him. God can cause your legs to receive strength that have been weak for years. You can be healed. Stand right up off of your couch. Heal. Some of you that have diseases that the doctors have not been able to cure, God can heal you right where you are. As your faith is, so be it unto you. Believe that God is your Savior. Believe that God is your healer. Believe God is your restorer. God is everything. There's a story that we are talking about today because this is Palm Sunday. It's called the Triumphal Entry. 1 week before Jesus Christ was crucified, he told his followers, go find a colt that's never been set on. Loose him and bring him back. And he rode back on that colt that had never been ridden before, an unbroken colt. There's a lot of stories in this little story. It means things that have not yet been broken. God is able to conform them for his glory and deliver them to you for your use. But oh, praise God, as he rides in on this colt, suddenly the believers of Jesus Christ, they just go wild. The Bible said they spread their clothes in his way. That little donkey was walking on those clothes that they had shed. The people were singing. They grabbed palm branches from the palm trees and began to praise and wave them. They began to say, Hosanna, to glory to God in the highest. Oh, they began to act a fool. Ladies and gentlemen, you might be critical of people that are emotional about their salvation, but when you realize what Christ did for you, you just have to be a zombie not to have emotion, because it will create in you such joy it cannot be contained. There is a God that is bigger than any container. You can't contain God in a box, a body, or a sanctuary. He is a God that is everywhere. And so that joy literally becomes, as Peter said, unspeakable. It's joy unspeakable. And these people today realize that when they were recognizing that Jesus was riding in, they recognized who he was, and their joy was beyond control. They might have looked foolish to those that saw them waving palm branches, singing, rejoicing, dancing, shouting, just as we do today. But we realize that God found us a long way off and drew us near. We realize we were digged out of a horrible pit, but he put our feet on the rock to stay. We realize we were hell-bound, and now we're heaven secure. And so we are filled with God's joy. That's the reason why we act like we do. We act like we won the lottery every day, because we have. One writer said, hey, I won the lottery. I was born in America. I was born again. You can't get better than that. I concur with that. That's the reason why I'm a happy camper. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And these people were just that happy. But all of a sudden, the religious figures began to criticize and point fingers of accusation. And they said, look at these people. They're acting like idiots. They're acting like nitwits. That's not the way you act. You act that way at a football game, a Super Bowl. You act that way at the Masters in Augusta. You act that way at a sporting event. You act that way if you get a monetary blessing. But you don't act that way about religion. But, oh, friend, there is nothing as exciting as knowing that your sins have been washed away. There's nothing as exciting knowing you're going to live an abundant life and an eternal life. There's nothing as exciting knowing that you don't have to go to sleep afraid, but praise God, you go to sleep in the sheltering arms of Almighty God. Know you're going to wake up one place. You're either going to wake up in your bed or you're going to wake up in glory, but you're going to wake up. Friend, you can't criticize that kind of emotion. And when they criticized these people that were celebrating Jesus on this triumphal entry, they said, make your disciples stop. Make them shut up. Jesus said, hey, if they stop, the rocks will cry out. Oh, because these are people that have found that God cannot be contained in the temple or the synagogue, the tabernacle, or a sanctuary. He is a God that is a God in the firmament of His power. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that the sanctuaries of America might be shut down, but heaven is open for business. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. On this Palm Sunday, let America stand to her feet. Let us beat our hands together in applause to our Creator and our Redeemer. And let us say, God lives, God lives, God lives. In closing, there was one priest sent into the holies of holies every year. And there he would make appeasement for the sins of Israel. And if God accepted them, he had some bells on the bottom of his garment, pomegranates and bells. And those that were nearest the tabernacle in the Old Testament would listen to see if they could hear the ringing of the bell. And if they could hear the ringing of the bell, they knew their sins had been atoned for. And so those in the front line of 3 million people would turn to the second row and say, He lives. And the second row would turn to the third row and say, He lives. And the fourth row would turn to the fifth row and say, He lives. All over America, why don't you take to your tablets? Why don't you take to your devices and declare, He lives, He lives, He lives. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He lives. I am not daunted by the circumstance of today. I know some people say it's the worst of times, but I say it's the best of times. Our God is on His throne, and He is working miracles in the lives of people today. And so I come to you wherever you are, and I offer you the glory of God. I'll offer you the truth of the Bible. And as Becky wrote the song, I offer you, I give you Jesus. Jesus Christ, the living God. I know I'd promised you that she was going to sing today. And to tell you the truth, I'm 70 years of age and I forgot it. So forgive me of that, because I had people all week saying, I can't wait to hear you preach. But they were saying, I can't wait to hear Sister Becky sing. Praise God. If we're still on the air and we're not here in person next week, she'll sing next week. I promise you, I won't forget it. Sister Becky, I'm commanding you to remind me. But we offer you that Jesus today. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, it doesn't matter about your upbringing. I meet a lot of people. You know, I was raised in the church. I was blessed. But I meet a lot of people in all of my business things, and they say, Pastor, I never did go to church when I was a kid. My people are good people, but they just didn't go to church. About 3 Wednesdays or 4 Wednesdays before this started, we had a woman right here get saved and give her life to Christ. And as I talked to her, she said, this is my first night in the church. She was like 30-some years of age. She said, I've never been in a church building in my life. I can't imagine that. Years ago, I was in the mall, and a lady was cutting my hair. And I said something about, she said, oh, I'd like to go to Houston. And I said something about Austin. She said, I've never been to Austin. I said something about Corpus. I talked to this girl. She was beautiful. I never go for her. She was Hispanic. She was beautiful, and she had a college degree. And she said, Pastor, I've never been out. I couldn't believe it. She had 4 years of college right here in San Antonio. Had never left the city limits of San Antonio. She'd never been to Corpus Christi, never been to Houston. I said, you got to get out of town. And that's what I'm saying today to somebody here. You say, Pastor, I've never been to church. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never really studied the Bible. Nobody's ever shared Christ with me. And when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I think about ghost Halloween. It's all foreign to me. You got to get out of town. You got to realize there's a whole life that you don't know anything about. Jesus called it abundant. Jesus called it good, eternal. You can have that life right where you are. Can you pray this prayer with me? Say, Jesus Christ, I've never lived in a time like this, and I'm a little fearful. I'm asking you right now to take me by the hand spiritually and lead me. I'm asking Jesus to come to me in my room right here. Come into my heart. Fill me with what that preacher's talking about, whatever it is, that joy, that peace. Fill me with it. Take my sins away. And help me realize that no matter what happens, you're my anchor, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. I put my hand in your hand today, Jesus. Come into my heart, save me. You know, there's something that many Christians don't talk about beyond that. And that is that God will fill you with a power, not just a joy and a peace and a contentment. But Jesus said, I've come and I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 and 8, he said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. I challenge somebody right now to lift up your hands and say, Christ, I receive you into my life, but I also want that power that preacher's talking about. I want the Holy Spirit baptism. As you lift your hands and begin to praise him, feel the presence of God, because he said, if you will ask the Father, he will give you the gift in Jesus' name. And as you worship him with hands uplifted and say, fill me with the Holy Spirit, just close your mind to what's ever outside and think about the Lord's love for you and let him fill you with the Holy Spirit, and he will. It'll be joy you've never had, peace you've never known, power you've never seen. All of this will happen. And then you'll receive something else. And this is the quirky part. This is the part that people get so upset about. You'll speak in a new language. That's a tongue you've never known. But I said, why that? I say, it's God's cell phone. Boy, we'd be lost in this situation if we didn't have our cell phones, but we're all connected. If you've got a cell phone to heaven, buddy, you're connected. That's what tongues is. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can interrupt. You can speak in that heavenly language, and suddenly, the Bible said it makes intercession for you about needs you don't even know you have. And the power of God comes to intercede for you. These gifts are available to you. Perhaps somebody looking at me right now has been diagnosed as having the coronavirus. Doesn't matter whether it's that or whether it's leukemia, sickle cell, tuberculosis, a brain tumor. It doesn't matter. You've got a bad diagnosis and you're afraid. The Bible said, by his stripes we were healed, past tense, and by his stripes we are healed, present reception. Jesus Christ wants to heal you right now. I was doing this very same thing from this very same pulpit to that very same camera just this past Wednesday night in Arizona. It happened. They received their healing. And I believe that God is healing you right now, inside and out. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I send forth your word. I release your spirit in the name of the Holy God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, save them, fill them, deliver them, heal them. I call it done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Brandon will be right here at 11 o'clock Central Time doing the very same thing I'm doing. So you can stay tuned, come back for that. Call a friend and tell them about it. I'll be back here at this same pulpit on Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central Time. God bless you. Look up.